in this service. I just believe it's time for God's man, Brother Tom Gillen, to come around, carry out the service as he feels led of the Lord, how he has challenged us out of the book of Colossians. You pray for him, open up your heart, find your place underneath this tabernacle, and get your ears on and let God speak to you. Brother Tom, preach to us.
Love you. If you have a Bible this morning, you find our text in the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. We thank the Lord for what's already been done here this morning. I don't know how you feel about it. That's worth the price of admission. What's going on around here this morning? Men pastor churches for years and never experienced anything like happened this morning. I tell you, if you could get a hold of this, take it back home. Business would pick up. Business would pick up. Give us a burden. Give us a burden. We have been, since Monday morning, trekking a path through the book of Colossians, called by one of the old writers the Jesus book, and simply because in 95 verses in this book, he's mentioned 74 times. It seems as though Paul is eat up with Jesus. He reeks with Jesus. Of course, he said in chapter 2 and verse 9, for in him, one of the 74 times, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God, all of his attributes, all of his powers, all of his creativity came and dwelt inside of Jesus Christ. He is at home. Jesus ain't sneaking around trying to be God. No, he said he is God. All of God dwells inside of him. Of course, when you realize verse 10 of chapter 2, that all of that come and got inside of you, now all God dwells inside of me. The little principle that God's been teaching me out of this book, I'm not very well at learning it. Every time I think I've got it learned, I realize I hadn't even started kindergarten yet. And the principle is that nothing in my life has ever been about me, but it is all about him. And absolutely nothing in your life. You say, you don't know what I've gone through in my life. No, I don't. But I know it's not about you. It's all about him. But in order to project that to our children, our grandchildren, we ain't got to wear a Baptist sign on us telling everybody we King James premillennialists. But in our life, our action, our reaction, they see that Christ is all to us and that we're nothing and that he's everything. That's not an easy task. Paul mentions several relationships we must have with Christ in order for that to be projected. We must know him as the personal Christ in chapter 1. Latter part of chapter 1, the powerful Christ. We noticed yesterday we must know him as the persuasive Christ. He's very persuasive. He's constantly pressing us to go deeper, higher, get closer. This morning, chapter number 3, if we're going to project to the world that it's not about me, it's all about him, we must know him as the perceptive Christ, the perceptive Christ. Jesus is extremely interested this morning in you and I losing our identity in him. He thinks you ain't worth shooting. And there is nothing of any value about you except the treasure that you'll carry. He's extremely interested in you losing your identity, that you being vaporized inside of him, leaving nothing for anybody else to see except him. Fanny Crosby, the lady that could not see, she often spoke of losing her identity in Him. Her song, Blessed Assurance, she said she got filled with His goodness. She got lost in His love. God is love. She said she got lost in God. Do some of you good to get lost in God this morning. Lose your identity. Lose all of your dignity. Maybe clear you off a spot there where you standing and have yourself a spell. If that was to happen, Paul tells us in chapter number 3, the perceptive Christ, that He would let you see some things that He wouldn't let nobody else see. I hear people all the time say, bless God, I don't see that in the Bible. Maybe you ain't got close enough yet to see it. Don't mean it ain't there just because you don't see it. Are you listening to me? The perceptive Christ. I notice in the text in chapter number 3, He tells us that He would allow us to see a resurrecting perception. A resurrecting perception. In verse 1, Paul says, if you desire to lose your identity in Christ, project to the world, it ain't about you, it is all about Him. He says, I'll let you live on the resurrected side of the tomb. What? He says, I'll let you get and live your life here like you're never gonna die. Watch the text. He says, if, that little word if is a conclusion drawn from a definite fact. He said, if ye then be, what? I am already risen. That means that death is already over with and I have been risen. Well, if ye then be risen with Christ, I remind you what I said yesterday. I was placed in Him before the foundation of the world. When He died on the cross, I was in His loins. I was inside of Him. And when He died, I died. When He got up, I got up. Paul said, if you want to lose your identity in Him, he said, I'll let you live your life like you've already died. I'm going to tell you something, it's hard for the devil to fool with anybody if they think they've already died and it's over with. Because that is the thing he tries to hold over your head, isn't it? Did you know that every time death is mentioned in the Bible, without exception, for God's people, it is always an action verb. It is never a state of being verb. It is always something you do. It is never something you are. It is not good biblical English to say your loved one is dead. Are you listening to me? No, they died and it is over with. And they are now alive forevermore. I love hound out of that, don't you? Is that not what He told Martha down there in the graveyard? He told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Time out, hold on. Ain't they both the same? No, they're not. He said, I've got the ability to get Lazarus out of the grave. He said, I am the resurrection. He said, but I got some good news for you. He said, I'm the life. He said, I've got the ability to fix it up where he ain't never going in there again. And then he turned to her, he said, Martha, he said, if you believe in me, he said, you'll never die. Wow. How many of you believe in Him this morning in saving grace? Keep your hands up. Would you say to yourself, I ain't never going to die? Wow. Do you really believe that? You'd have yourself a shouting fit.
Huh?
Preacher, you're absolutely crazy. We've had them at our church. I saw them in that box. They were graveyard dead. I have preached the funeral of everybody that was raised in the same house that I was raised in. I've seen the lid closed on every last one of them. You would not have to get your rocket science degree to figure it out. I'm next. I've seen the lid closed on all of them. But I realized a very interesting thought. That ain't them.
You say, preacher, that's the only body I ever know. I love that body. That's the only person I ever know.
Sure enough. If that's all you ever knew about them, could I just give you a deep theological truth? You didn't know Jack. Have you ever had any dealings with Hershey Kisses? My wife says that's why God gave you two jaws. Put one in both sides. You never noticed a Hershey Kiss? It has got a silver cord on it. You must pull the silver cord in order to get the kiss out. Solomon said when you die, God pulls the silver cord of life off on you. Your loved one, and you said that's all you know about them. Will God come that day and pull the silver cord on? And he took the kiss and left you the wrapper. In Winterville, Georgia, my wife and I often stack up wrappers beside our brown recliner. I have never attacked her and got all them, "Oh, honey, don't mess with my wrapper. That's all I've ever known." No! I let her throw them away. But I assure you one day, they exhaled here and inhaled over there. That's all it was when the kiss come out of the wrapper. But one day he's going to put the kiss back in the wrapper minus the silver cord, because they ain't going to ever die no more. And we're going to live with them forevermore. Huh? Death has lost its sting. I tell you, if you want to lose your identity in him, he said, "I'll let you live on the resurrected side of the tomb." Not only that, he says, "I'll let you live on the reigning side of the throne." He said in verse 1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Did you know that Jesus has been sitting for over 2,000 years? He ain't got up but twice. He got up for Stephen's homecoming. Gave him a standing ovation when he come home. He got up one night, went down to the Apostle Paul when he was in prison and told him to keep his chin up. He said, "I got this." Only two times. Hey, your mess ain't never got him up. Obama ain't never got, North Korea ain't never got him up. You sit. I don't know about you, I love to sit. Got anything to do at your house and I can do it, and you got to sit down to do it, call me, I'll do it. He ain't pacing up there watching his watch. He ain't even got no watch. He ain't even got no calendar. He is sitting. Take a trip with me this morning. Let's go past the clouds. Let's go past the stars. Let's go past the sun. Let's go higher. Let's go past the radiation belt where those stupid nuts talk about global warming trying to save the earth. Hey, you ain't bought into getting your canvas bags down at Walmart and stop using your plastic ones, have you? Are you listening to me? We're going to go on past all that. We're going to step over that line where no man has ever stepped over and come back except Jesus Christ. That line into the eternal world. We're going to have to go higher. We've got to the gates of that city. It is a high place, the city of Zion. Let's go on in the city. Hey! Don't get fascinated with all that gold streets and your mansion and all that stuff. We got to go higher. Inside of this city, we're going to go to the highest peak. We're going to the edge of infinity, as high as you can go. You're going to have to cock your head way back to look at this peak. Pray tell, who is that sitting up there? It is the King of Kings. It is the Lord of Lords. And he is sitting on the rim of infinity.
Time out! Hold on!
Who in the world is that sitting beside him? Tis me. Paul said he has made me to sit present tense in heavenly places. That's where I am viewing this from. Paul said if you'll lose your identity in Christ, if you'll go to projecting it ain't about you, it's all about him. He says I'll let you see an aerial view of what's going on in this situation. Some of you are happy with a low down view. Huh? I remember John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. An old boy in interpreter's house, one of the pictures, he had a muck rake out in the barn and he just spent his days raking muck. And in the picture there was a glorious angel behind him, and the angel had a crown of glory in his hand. And he was offering him a seat beside the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the picture, the nut never turned around and looked at the picture. He just kept raking his muck. And some of us this morning have just continued to rake the muck of this world. And we've never seen this morning where God's got us sitting on the rim of infinity. It is over. We done died and rose again. And we're sitting with him. But you're going to have to lose your identity to see that. You're going to have to vaporize yourself inside of him. I'm talking about the resurrection perception. I notice there is a reliability perception. Verse number 2, he mentions the center of our reliability. This is going to put a lot of you out. It's going to cut you out. Set your affections on things above. David talked about having a perfect heart towards God. Paul called it setting your affections on God. What is the heart of man? The Old Testament writer says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it would be my thoughts. When is the last time you set all your thoughts on him? Or do you spend a lot of your time thinking about yourself? You know how come you do that, don't you? It's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not. Maybe over your head. Because you think it's all about you. Set your thoughts. Let not your heart be troubled. Speaks of your emotions. You imagine what would happen this morning if everybody in this crowd, the women included, would put all their feelings on things above. You know how come you don't do that? You know how come you're always getting your feelings hurt and you're thinking about your own feelings? It's because you and I think it's all about us. He says, as a man purposeth in his heart,
This thing ain't about me doing what I want to. This is not about me doing my will. This is about me setting aside all of that and setting my heart upon Him. Oh God, may I be able to say my heart is fixed on Thee, oh God. It's the only center place of reliability. You're going to have to vaporize yourself to do that, though. Center of reliability. I notice there's the comfort of reliability. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Verse number 3, here's an interesting statement. For ye are dead. Hey, did you ever have any of your loved ones die and you went down there and looked at them in the coffin and you made this statement? Man, they almost look like they're alive. They look so peaceful. That's what it is to be dead this morning. Sin can't mess with you. Self can't mess with you. And the devil ain't never messing no dead man. He don't mess with them. They dead. They ain't no use to him. Paul said, if ye then be dead with Christ. Oh, the center of our reliability, the comfort of our reliability. Oh, whenever we lose our identity in Him, sin and self don't have any more power over. How can that be, preacher? What's the text? For ye are dead and your life is hid. That's such a big word, that next word. Someone help me with it. What is that next word after hid? I'm hid with Him. That little word with in the Old Testament, God took up a fivefold relationship with every one of the Old Testament saints. He came before them. He got there before they did. He came alongside of them to fellowship with them. He came behind. There was no hellish attacks from the rear. He says, I got underneath of them. He said, they're never going to fall lower than I could catch them. And he said, I got over top of them. He said, there'll be no attacks from the God of the air. We New Testament saints, He does not do that for us. No, 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 no. He said, I'll take up a sevenfold relationship with you. He said, I will come before you. Yes. He said, I will get beside you, me and you in fellowship. He said, I will bring up the rear. He said, I will get under you. He says, I will get over you. He says, but I'm going to throw in two more relationship with you. He said, I'm going to get inside of you. And he said, I'm going to let you get inside of me. And he said, I'm going to hide you where nobody can't see you. And he said, you can just lay back in there and lose your identity. I love that, don't you? That's what some of you need to do this morning. Because, you know, you really think you're up. Huh? You ain't worth shooting. You're just a dirt bag. That's all you are. Huh? Read an article not long ago. 65% of all the dust in your house has got your DNA in it. You're falling apart at the house. Every hour, 2 million dirt particles fall off of you. If we're here from 10:30 to 1, you have left a mess on that seat. Lose your identity. You say, I'm cute. You're just a cute dirtbag, that's all. Comfort of our reliability. He says the resurrecting perception, reliable perception. I notice there is a returning perception. Paul said God will let you see this if you lose your identity. He says in verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Talking about His coming. I hope this don't mess you up. I hope you don't get mad at me. Paul was not a pre-tribulationist. Well, that sucked air out of the room, didn't it? He was not a post-millennialist. He was not an amillennialist. He was not a pre-tribber. How come? How do you know that, preacher? Because they hadn't invented them yet. That'll dawn on you after a while. That's something man invented. Paul didn't invent none of that stuff. Well, what in the world was Paul? He's something me and you are not. Oh, you've got it all lined up. Maybe you got charts. You got charted up. You got it going up, coming down. You got all frilly little gold dust. You got the devil bag. Got the devil loose. Paul wasn't in any of all that stuff. He said in the book of Hebrews that he'll appear the second time unto those that are looking for him. Paul was a looker. He's constantly, hey, come today, I believe. Huh? He had lost his identity in Christ. He had died to himself. He realized it wasn't about me, it was all about him. And he was looking for him. He was a looker. I'm talking about the when of his return. I notice in the text, in losing our identity, verse number 4, there is the what of his return. When Christ, who is our life. Did you know, I know this probably mess you up. Did you know that God ain't interested in changing the United States? I know you think, man, we got a Republican in the White House now. We go put them homosexuals back in the closet, and we go stop this abortion issue. I tell you, if you stop both of them, the devil's got some better things are coming. He ain't interested in us changing this world. But he is extremely interested in you dying to your stinking self and letting him live his life through you. Are you listening to me? Old J. Vernon McGee, the great preacher of yesterday, when he was pastoring out in L.A., the woman mayor of L.A. called him one day and she asked him, she says, we're developing a council and we're going to clean up L.A. and we would like for you to be on the council. And he told her, he said, I wouldn't be interested in it. She said, you wouldn't be interested in cleaning up our city? He said, absolutely not. He said, I have no interest in cleaning up LA at all. And she said, how come? He said, God called me to fish in this lake. He didn't call me to clean it up. God's called you to live the Christ life. And when you do that, you'll begin to see things change around you. You'll begin to have effects upon people. I'm talking about losing your identity. There is the returning perception. I close with this. I'm so glad my dear friend mentioned that morning issue this morning, because that's my last point. There is a revealing perception. Watch the text in chapter 3 and verse 5. There is a revealing law. Paul says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Paul said, it would be good if you would just kill yourself spiritually. Just evaporate yourself completely. Mortify your deeds which are upon the earth. Paul said in our text, he says in verse number 9, lie not one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Oh, it'd be good this morning if some of you would bring your old man down here and kill him. What's the text? Quickly, Romans chapter number 6. I love this. I hate to even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. Romans chapter number 6. I'm talking about a revealing law. He says in Romans chapter 6 in verse number 6, knowing this, that little word knowing is a term in intimacy. It is not a term that you're walking along one day and trip up and say, whoa, I see it now. No. It's a process, long process. Knowing this, that your old man is crucified. Time out, hold on.
I've got a problem with that phrase, is crucified. I know I was in the 10th grade on three different occasions, and I know I've got problems with conjugation of verbs. But Paul has used the word is, which is present tense, and he has used the word crucified, which is past tense. That is a no-no. Is present tense. He said, when I died on the cross, he said, I nailed your old man up there. And he said, when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took me down that day, he said, they didn't realize it. He said, but I whispered to them and told them, leave Tom Gillum's old man up there and let him chunk it over there in the valley of Gehenna and burn the cotton picking thing up. Are you listening to me? Preacher, are you preaching sinless perfection? No, I wouldn't do that except the church of God. This is a Baptist church. I'm preaching sinning less. But you're going to have to realize, you're going to have to lose your identity, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I know the old church of God means that annihilation theory, that they don't have an old man again. Just ask the person beside you. They know you still got one. It is to be rendered powerless. Power of sin not have any effect upon you. Brother Kevin dealt with Romans chapter 7. That's the war that is going on. Dear old preacher friend of mine, he calls that war between the Old and the New Testament. That's what you talked about, Jordan. You said you sin, keep in front of you, a war going on you. My old preacher friend called that the wonderful war. He said, that's the only way you can know that you've ever been born again. It's the only way. If you're sitting here this morning and from day one that you were born again, if there has not been a constant war going on inside of you, even to awake at night after some ungodly, filthy dream and realize the war's still going on, would you write yourself a note? I'm going to hell when this is over with. Because he ain't never saved you. If he has ever saved you, there is a wonderful war going on inside of you between the old nature and the new nature. You said, preacher, how in this world can I have any victory? Romans chapter 8, if you still got it there, look at verse number 2. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death keeps war inside of me, fighting me, it's pulling me down. But the more I lose my identity, the law of the Spirit of Christ begins to overrule the law of sin and death, and I begin to walk in victory. Amen. Got to get that one law overrule that other one. Amen. You know, we've got a law here in our world called law of gravity. What goes up gonna come down. You can get out here on the gable, you can just get all excited. And you're just so sincere. And you can get on the gable end of this building this afternoon, out here at the front, and jump off, thinking you can fly. But you're going to get cement rash when you hit out there. Law of gravity pulls everything down. But you know, there has been an occasion or two where I have gone over to Atlanta, Georgia, and I have had the privilege to stick out my tongue at the law of gravity. While sitting on a 757 airplane with about 300 other people, and watch it leave the ground and put down the law of gravity with the law of aerodynamics, and I stick my tongue out at it. Oh, I tell you, if you can live in the law of the Spirit of Christ this morning, you can stick your tongue out at every temptation that comes, and you can walk in victory. Amen. Paul said, you'll never see that until you lose your identity in him. Back in our text, I'm a winding it down. Colossians chapter 3, not only is there a revealing law, there is a revealing lesson. If I'm going to live this victorious life, Jordan, I know it hadn't been long that this battle has been going on for you and that your sins are ever before you. How would you like to have it been going on for 49 years and the sins, I just see them constantly and they're battling me, they're warring me. I keep having to ask Him to forgive me for the same things over and over and over again. My friend said, it's a wonderful war. It's the only proof. What can I do to have somewhat kind of victory and power? Watch the text, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body. Be ye thankful. Peace of God. It is not a thing. I hear people all the time say, "Woo, I feel so peaceful." What does it feel like? Does it come and go? Because you know, I've eaten pizza late at night, got indigestion, I was going to die for a morning. It's just a feeling. Peace of God here that Paul mentions. If you're going to have any kind of victory, mortifying yourself, he said, let the peace of God rule. Brother Kevin, that word rule is a word for umpire. Umpire is a person. I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me. He says, I'm living inside of you during this war. And he says, I am the divine umpire inside of you. Preacher, does that mean that he's going to blow the whistle on me when I go out of bounds? Absolutely not. I find more times than ever that he blows the whistle on me before I go out of bounds. And I love to have a dollar for every time I have ignored the whistle and continued in my trek out of bounds. Do not tell somebody you accidentally did that. You tell them the Holy Ghost inside of you was blowing the whistle loud and clear. As Paul said, he's faithful to give you a door of escape. Christ was standing there. He said, you can go through me. You ain't got to do it. And you ignored the door. You ignored the whistle. And you went right on out of bounds. You'll have to have a strong relationship with the Holy Ghost if you're going to walk in victory and lose your identity. Watch the text, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Not only if you're going to mortify the deeds of the flesh and walk in victory, have somewhat of a victorious in this war, this wonderful war that's going on inside of you. You're going to have a strong relationship with the Holy Ghost. You're going to have a strong relationship with the Word of God. I notice some of you don't even have a Bible with you. Hey, the devil ain't eating your lunch. He done eat it. It's gone. Your lunch ain't even here no more. He got your lunch a long time ago. Because the only way you can have any kind of victory is to fill yourself with this book. I love what old John Phillips said about it. Old Dr. John said this. He said, let us seek to drive the stake of Calvary's cross through the hellish heart of our old man. Oh, we'll never lose our identity. We'll never project to the world that it ain't about me, it's all about him. Until we begin to have victory in this wonderful war. I mentioned in the beginning of this sermon, Fanny Crosby, constantly, that old gal in her songs would mention little phrases where she lost her identity. You couldn't see Fanny Crosby anymore. She's gone. That blessed assurance, she's got lost in God. Hey, where's Fanny? I can't see nothing but God. Lost her identity in him. But one of her songs, it blows my mind with this identity thing. I'm not a songwriter. I don't know nothing about writing songs. I'm sure Jordan and others around here do. But I am conscious that there ought to be some continuity in the verses, and the chorus should back it up. Well, she wrote a song, and all the verses have continuity. And when she gets to the chorus, she goes in left field, changes the whole song. It's crazy saying the world. The song I speak of is Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. There a precious fountain, free to all healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Fanny Crosby said she spent her whole life, she wanted to get closer to Calvary. She said, I feel like I just can't get close enough to where Jesus died for me. She said, I just find myself all the time during the day, she said, just scrooching up to Calvary. Jesus, keep me near that cross. She said, near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows over me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. All the verses right in line. Man, I tell you, I just want to get near the cross. I just want to get closer. She gets to the chorus, changes the whole song. What did the old blind woman do with the chorus? She said, in the cross. In the cross. What? Fanny got so close to the cross, the thing swallowed her up. Where in the world is Fanny at? Fanny Crosby is gone. You can't see her no more. The cross has done eat her up. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. I'm telling you, honey, she didn't see that with blinded eyes. She lost her identity because she saw something down here. I tell you, most of us are living our Christian life with these eyes and these ears. You better quit it this morning. It ain't worth it. You better start living your Christian life and losing your identity down here. I was wondering this morning, have you ever lost your identity in Him? Died to yourself, seeking to be swallowed up by the cross? Because it is there that sin, self, Satan have no more power over you. Would you stand with us this morning? Our heads are bowed. Paul called him the perceptive Christ. You and I are going to project to the world. It's not about me. It's all about Him. I must lose my identity. How can I do that? I must have a strong relationship with the Holy Ghost. I must be able to say, just like I can say about my salvation date, I can give you a date when God filled me with the Holy Ghost for the first time. I wonder this morning, you'd like to root you out of place in this altar. Ask God to let you lose your identity, let you die to yourself. Sin and self and Satan not having any more power over you. You like to kick in that spirit of the law of Christ and have victory over the law of sin and flesh. Enter into that wonderful war with victory. While they do whatever God's led them to do for the invitation, altar's open. Seek the Lord. Call on Him while He's near. No war going on, I'd check up.